I'm here to let you know that I need a word from God, from the breath of his mouth, not from somebody who's trying to think of something good to say, not somebody who's been watching my life and heard a little something they want to try to encourage. No, I appreciate your encouragement, but I need a word from the Lord. I need God to speak to me directly so that I'll be able to overcome all the things that the enemy's throwing my way, because you don't know the things that he throws my way. I don't talk about them. I don't have to complain about them. I ain't got to tell everybody in the world what I'm going through, because God already knows what I'm dealing with. All I'm saying is, God, I'm right here. I ain't got to tell you what I'm dealing with, but I'm right here in your face because I need a word. I'm right here in your face because I ain't going nowhere, because if I leave, I might not make it. But God, I'm still in your face. I'm going to trust in you, and I'm waiting on you to breathe on me. I need you. I can make it if you breathe on me. I can overcome if you breathe. Just breathe the breath. If I can just hear a word from the Lord, I know everything will be all right. I don't have anybody in the house that said, if I could just hear a word from God, I know everything will be all right. I wish I had a few people in the house today that said, I need one word. If I can just get God to speak to me, I know I could be healed. If I could just get God to speak over my life, I know that everything that's wrong in my life will work out for my good. I wish I had a few people in the house. So he says that he'll consume him with the spirit of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. When he shows up, the brightness of his coming, that word brightness, you know, it's come from, we get a word from that in the Greek, epiphany. That means when he shows up, when, you know how you have an epiphany, anybody ever had one? It means it's a God send. That means something pops in my mind, and that got to be God. Nobody but God. And so when you know it's God, this in itself destroys the enemy. When I know what God is up to, my faith can't be shaken. When I know that God is a way maker or a healer or a deliverer, I don't care what I go through, I know I'm going to be all right. I'm trying to get there. I'm going to get out of the way. So he said, look at this. He says, and when God shows up in the brightness of his coming, he'll destroy him. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. I knew some lying wonders. He says, even him who's working after working of Satan with all power. Satan gives this man the power. Read Revelations. He gives him all power to do whatever he wants to do, right? And he says, and he's going to do some things with power and signs and lying wonders. What is a lie? A lie is something people tell you to make you think it's true. So if the wonders are going to lie, there are going to be things that are going to be done to make people believe that it's God and it's not. If you don't have discernment, the devil will come in church and fool you. If you don't have discernment, he'll do some stuff and you'll say, can't nobody do that but God, and it'll be the devil. He said that he would be able to fool even the very elect if it were possible. It's not possible, but if it were possible, people who are not in that category, they can be fooled. That's just like that. Is it all right to talk like this? I'm not in a hurry. I'm all right. And so he said, look at this. Now, this is needed because God said it is, so we can be focused on the big picture and get out of our own laps. We're too focused on us to know what's going on around us. Amen. When we're focused on what's around us, we can't keep up so much mess with our brothers and sisters. We can't be rebellious when we know this picture is bigger than what it is. All right, let me go on here. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, all deceivable, I mean, he's deceiving people. And I point back to 1 John chapter 2, around verse 18, where it says that the Antichrist is many of them already come, right? And so guess what's happening right now? Deception. Deception everywhere, even on the World Wide Web.
Why has a spider put his web in the corner or at your garage from one spot to the next and back around? Because he want the fly to think that ain't nothing there, and the fly flies into it to deceive him, only to get him caught up in it. The world wide web. You get caught up in the web, huh? And that internet spider. Oh, okay, let me. I'll leave that alone. I'll leave it alone. Some of us caught up in the web now because we can't put our social media down. We're at church today. Amen. I guarantee if it's 50 people in here, 28 of them have picked up their phone and went on social media. Tell me I'm lying. I guarantee it's somebody in here, and that's the web. You're caught in it. You can't get free. Ain't no discipline when you're in that. Now you're hung in the web, and you're just waiting for the spider to come and eat the life out you. Amen. Taking my time. I know y'all wanted me to, you know. Oh, you don't? Okay. No. He says that deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. They don't love the truth. They'd rather somebody lie to them. I was talking about this the other day. Some people just rather folks lie to them. They don't care. Don't care. Don't care. We was talking and somebody was asking me, well, you know, what about, you know, they was talking about they had went to this, you know, this revival, and they had about 5 or 6 people who had been told that they were going to be millionaires. And they said, you believe that? I say, I don't know. God might do it. I say, God might do it. I mean, 5 or 6 people, you know, in that small town over there, in this small town, Louisiana, it's not Natchitoches, okay? Small town Louisiana, I'm going to just say that. I said, if God wants to, he can do it. And they said, you know, but why he ain't just tell them that God was going to bless them to have the necessities of life and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, well, I don't know why he said that. I said, I ain't him. I said, one thing is I realize that sometimes people want you to lie to them because they want you to feel good. Amen. So you lie to them. You know, men, y'all know how y'all do. How this look, baby? That look good. And they leave feeling good about themselves. In reality, she don't care how you think it look. She only care about what the other lady think it look like. Amen. So she can say, girl, where you get that from? You know. All I'm saying is that sometimes people like to be lied to. And for some reason, since they like to be lied to, the devil figured that we can lie to them at church. And they'll never focus on what it's really about. They'll never focus on fixing their life to match up with the word of God. They'll think that everything revolves around them, and they'll never grow up. They'll never change. They'll never repent, never turn. They'll never care about what you say that pertain to somebody else that's not me. Preach to them, pastor. Huh? But people won't be lied to. He said, look at this. They don't have love for truth. I'd rather feel good than you tell me the truth. I often wonder, y'all watch that? I don't watch it, but I visit my sister Bucci and she watching My 600-pound Life.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Living the Spirit-filled life. And today I'm going to talk to you about living Spirit-filled. And so I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit? Are you? Examine yourself. Are you filled with the Spirit of the living God? Does the Spirit of God live in you, and does he have his way in your life? Amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit is a vital necessity in the days that we're living in. Our hearts should cry out every day, daily, for more of God because we need him and because of the times that we're living in. Amen. If you've recently started to fall away from your faith in God, then today is a day for you to reconnect. And to reconnect in the right way. Amen. 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 Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. Now the Spirit speaks expressly. That means that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to say something distinctively clear so that there can be no mistake about what he's saying. He's speaking so clear. How many of you had the Lord speak to you so clear? I've heard people say, boy, the Lord spoke to me just as clear. Well, the Holy Ghost knows how to talk real clear to you. Amen. And so he's going to tell us something about the end of days. Or we could say the last of the last days, because the last days really began on the day of Pentecost. You remember Peter stood up and he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then in the last days, said God, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. He said, this is that. So that was the beginning of the last days. And now we're at a time in history where we have come to the end of the last days. And the Holy Spirit wanted to tell us something about what was going to be prevalent in the world, not just in a country, but what was going to be prevalent in the world during the last of the last days. Amen. And this is part of it right here. And it didn't take him long to tell it because it's so crystal clear, it didn't take a whole lot of words. Yeah. Amen. He didn't have to give a whole paragraph about what was going to happen. He summarized everything that was going to happen in these verses right here. He says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some... Everybody say some. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Glory to God. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit said was going to happen. He said some believers will backslide and stop believing in Jesus. He said, then in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. That means they're going to leave the faith. They're going to stop trusting Jesus. And they're going to backslide into apostasy. And they'll get to a place where they don't really hardly believe anything about God anymore. In other words, people will quit believing and trusting in God. They will quit reading their Bible. They will quit praying. They will quit worshiping. They will quit praising. They will quit giving thanks. You know, the easiest thing in church ought to be able to get people to thank God. Because we're a bunch of believers. We should be running over with gratitude. Amen. Right? I should have no trouble pumping you up to thank God. Amen. Right? But why is it that you say, praise the Lord, and you just got to keep pumping people to get them to praise? You know why? Because they ain't praising when they ain't here. Amen. Amen. When you're not thankful all week long, it's hard for you to turn the switch when you get here on Sunday morning. When you haven't been doing right during the week, you can't. It's hard to turn it on Sunday morning for a few minutes. Amen. Right? And then just wait till that time go and be glad we get past this part. But when we say give thanks to God, we should be bubbling over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with thanksgiving. We ought to be running over with praise. You know, when I got saved, I know Sister Lorraine was talking about in prayer yesterday about how when we got saved back in the 80s, it was just different. I mean, when people got filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a fire on them.
Amen.
There's an enthusiasm about Jesus, about sharing your faith, about doing damage to Satan's kingdom,
yes. Amen.
About telling everybody the good news. I mean, just a fire and enthusiasm, because what we had received was so much better than what we was living that we literally came into a brand new life, and we was excited about it. And so I remember during those times being so in love with Jesus, just fell in love with him. Amen. Everything Jesus. You hear his name walking in the mall, you go, up to that somebody, he talking about somebody I know. Let me see what they're saying about him. I know him. I know who they're talking about. That's got to be a believer there. Oh, we can fellowship now. But you got believers now, they don't care. They hear Jesus' name and ain't hear nothing. But I prayed a prayer because I was scared that I would slip away from my enthusiasm for God. I said, Lord, this is so good and so exciting and so adventurous getting to know you. Please don't let me slip back into religion.
Amen.
Don't let me lose my passion. Don't let me lose my fire. I'm just scared that one day that I won't be excited about him no more. Ooh, because I know that's a bad thing. Because religion can't change you. And so that's still my prayer. I need to stay on fire. I need to keep my passion for Jesus hot and heavy. Amen. I can't settle into some religious rut and then be complacent where I'm not looking for change. I'm not expecting any more from God. You know, I'm just going through the motions of serving him. Well, he's never satisfied with that. But look at what he said is going to happen, and it's happening. It's happening right now. This is how you tell when you start departing from the faith. You stop reading, you stop praying, you quit worshiping and praising God, you quit giving thanks, you even quit church. In other words, you ain't consistent in that no more, just when you feel like it. So Jesus is not really being Lord, because you lording it over him, telling him what you're going to do. Quit church, quit giving, quit serving, quit loving other people, quit witnessing. People lose their passion and their fire for Jesus. In other words, they shut down their Christian walk. Just shut it down. We ain't been about all this Jesus stuff no more. Some people just want just enough Jesus to get to heaven. I don't want to be on fire for Jesus. I just want enough to just go to heaven. We have to learn how to live spirit-filled. Amen. Now, why is this happening here? Jesus gave the reason for it. Why would some people depart from the faith? I mean, why would you walk away from the best thing ever happened to you? You know, we sing that song, Jesus, the best thing ever happened to me. Well, why would people depart from the faith? Listen to what he said. Giving heed to seducing or deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, that word doctrines, you look it up in other translations, it'll tell you teachings. Things that demons teach. In other words, people will stop believing the Bible and will start believing demonic teachings. In other words, they will start believing the wrong thing. He said, that's what happened. Demons will begin to seduce them. Deceiving spirits will, they're always on your trail. They're always on your trail trying to deceive you, trying to fool you, trying to trick you, trying to keep you from having that devotion for the Lord that you should have, trying to break your focus and to bring distraction in your life to deceive you that something else is better. And in his teachings, people say, well, the devil ain't never taught me nothing. Let me tell you something. Same-sex marriage is a doctrine of the devil. That's a teaching that comes from demons. That's a teaching that's inspired by demons. That it's normal for two men to be together, two women. We need to accept that as being normal. That's a normal relationship. And guess what? Seducing spirits. Seduction takes place over time. Sometimes it's a slow process. The devil's been working on this for years and years and years until now you can't even hardly say anything about it without losing your job. There are lots of doctrines of demons. Anything that deviates from the truth, any principles that you live by that violate the scripture has been given to you by some demon. There are all kinds of religious doctrines out there, teachings, but some of them you got to check them at the source and say, do they line up with the word of God? Amen. Does it violate the Bible? And if it does, put a tag on it. Doctrine of devil. The devil's teaching. And he's busy trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. He wants to be the one leading you. He wants to be the one guiding you. He wants to be the one that's empowering you to do things. He wants to take the place of the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is able to transform himself even to an angel of light. In other words, many people are deceived because they think that they're following God and they're really following the devil. Because he transformed himself. And the Bible said that his ministers are able to transform themselves. That's talking about human beings. People depart from the faith because they've been deceived by seducing spirits. They're deceived into embracing and believing teachings inspired by devils. Amen. And another reason not listed here, but I'm going to give it to you, is that they don't continually acknowledge the Holy Spirit and have lost their first love for Jesus. That's why people depart. They fall out of love with Jesus. They stop doing those things that they know that's right. Now, I got to tell you this part so that you'll understand why you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Because this is what we're confronted with out there in this world, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And if you're not careful, then you will start dropping things, laying stuff aside that was good and wholesome that you used to enjoy doing. You know, whenever you hear Christians saying, well, we used to do, that means they stopped doing it. We used to. I remember when. That means they ain't doing it no more. I used to go to church all the time, and now I just go every now and then. What done happened? Did Jesus change on you? Or did you change on him? Did you stop believing something you used to believe that was putting you here every time the doors open? Did you change what you believed? One time you thought that was beneficial for you. Now, I'm not condemning you, but I want you to see the truth because this was a warning given to the church.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm sharing this with you so that you don't allow this to happen to you. Believers get seduced away from the truth. Well, you know, all that tithing, I heard somebody say it ain't for today. Well, you've been in the Word. You done seen the truth for yourself. You going to let somebody talk you out of it?
Yeah.
All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see that God is dealing with the Apostle Paul in the second letter to Timothy. First thing that he did in the scripture we just read, 1 Timothy chapter 4, he gave them the cause. He gave them the cause of why people will depart from the faith and what they'll start believing. In 2 Timothy, he gives them the effect of being seduced and believing doctrines of devils. Cause and effect. Everybody say cause and effect. All right, the cause is the devil deceiving people and people believing the lie, and the effect is found here in 2 Timothy. Listen, I'm going to read this here out of the New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, he's talking about the end of days again, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Now, the King James says perilous times. Other translations say distressing times, times of great stress and trouble. Times that are hard to deal with. We living in dangerous times. How many of you know it's dangerous? Out there in the world is dangerous. You need to be prayed up every day. You need to be led by the Spirit every day because you don't ever know what you're going to count out there because we're living in dangerous times. And the reason is because of the effect of people that have been deceived by the devil. Listen to this. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from such people. Now, I got to reading that, and I say, now, in this description of this is the actions of people. This is the effect of not being led by the Spirit. This is the effect of not believing the gospel. And then I start looking at those characteristics, and I say, most of them are demonic. All right, let me go through the list again. People will be selfish. All right, now, that's fleshly. That's people, you know, people loving themselves. We live in this selfie generation. You know, I mean, everybody like to take pictures of themselves. I ain't getting on you because you take a lot of selfies. You know, don't take pastor picking me because I take selfies. I ain't picking nobody. I mean, that's the age we're living in. Amen. But, you know, you just can't fall in love with yourself. You're supposed to love God more than you love yourself. They will be boastful and proud. Demonic. Scoffing at God. Demonic. God is the one that loved you. He the one created you. Why would you want to scoff at him? Why would you want to ridicule him and make light of him and make jokes about him and have no respect and no honor for him, the one that created you? That sounds demonic to me. Listen to this here. Disobedient. That's a characteristic. Disobedient to parents, which means we're talking, taking another level, disobedient to God. That sounds demonic to me, living in disobedience. What about this one right here? Ungrateful. That's demonic for you not to have gratitude.